Good morning and welcome back, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whale, and welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Be sure to check out the link there, and we have one on our website as well at franklyspeakingradio.com. To our special guest this evening, Grant Hall. He is the author of the book Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan, and Guide to Anonymous Living. This book available in ebook or hardcover form at privacycrisis.com. You can look for it used at amazon.com. You can also call and have it shipped to you over the phone if you don't have internet access, and that number is 702-433-6222. And author Grant Hall is joining us. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. And I just wanted to throw something out there. I kind of got wound up on the last question. I'm really enthusiastic about the banking part of this. And Roger's question was very valuable. I'm sure people could benefit from knowing the answers to that. But we've had a little bit of difficulty here with the online purchases the last few days. If anybody has any trouble whatsoever buying the book, would you please contact me through email, or let's give the email address. It's contact@privacycrisis.com, and I wouldn't ordinarily do this, except that there was some issues the last 8 or 10 days with not just our book, but a number of books as well. Reportedly had some trouble being purchased at Amazon, so let's make sure that that's available. Also, the people are buying the book, and they're buying it through the phone number as well, those that don't use a computer, and there was a couple of people that apparently they called, and the personnel at the store didn't know, but then that apparently was resolved. So the same holds true in that regard. If you have any trouble whatsoever, why, please tell me and through the email, and I'll make certain that that's resolved. But I'm doing the best I can, and for the most part, it's being it's working out quite nicely.
Oh, that's very good news, and I'm certainly appreciative of that, because as I've said, and again, I've had people call in even during the week, talking about how, you know, how much they've enjoyed everything they've read. And this is a vital book here, my friends. It's important to understand, first thing is why this is important. And it is because the world is changing around you. You may not, it's very much like, when they passed the Patriot Act, a lot of people that I spoke with on my show at the time, Grant, they said, hey, this doesn't affect me because I'm not a terrorist. And I said, well, it does affect you because they're changing the way they do things. They're changing the laws. So even if you were not considered a terrorist before, well, you can be now. And this is the exact same thing. Yes, you might not have an identity that you feel is worth stealing. You might say, hey, I don't have any money or anything like that. Well, guess what? You have a name, presumably, that isn't affiliated with criminal activities. Let's say someone steals your identity and you're just walking around, or you know, the cops say, hey, let me see your ID. And you show them your ID thinking, yeah, I haven't done anything wrong. Well, maybe somebody stole your identity and they did. So this is a very, very important thing to understand, that this is applicable to anybody at any level in their lives, at any place they might be at. There you do have something to protect. So you have to understand that all of these things are relevant to your life, no matter how you choose to live it.
I agree, and it really isn't anybody's business. The consensus seems to be that the reason that people are being conned into providing all this information over a period of time is for control, and I think the government is the biggest culprit here, frankly.
Oh, well said. Absolutely well said. Folks, we'll come back. We'll take a few more calls, then we'll let our guest Grant Hall off the hook for the night. Remember our number, 800-313-9443, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest tonight, Grant Hall, the website privacycrisis.com. Grant, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. I have to tell you one thing.
Sure.
We've made a pretty good dent in our first printing of this book. And, Frank, to my knowledge, there's never been one returned.
Oh, wonderful.
And the closest thing to that is a guy purchased the ebook early on, and his security on his computer was set so high that there was a little difficulty in getting that to download or to activate that, as I recall, and that was straightened out. But we just sent him the hard cover, and I think we deactivated that one because his computer was set too high. But since that time, that has been resolved. I just wanted to say that because, by and large, everybody, as far as I know, are satisfied, and I'd really welcome people that do have it to call in and talk about what they think of it.
Oh, well said. Well, I mentioned to you that people are asking for other versions, and I know people would love to see some DVD seminar, sort of things, even just quick ones, maybe like obviously you could never fit it all in one disc with the stuff that's in the book, but audiobooks, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know that
obviously you got to go ahead and sell out all of these first, so they can certainly facilitate that process by, spreading the word about this. Get these books sold, and then Grant will have the money to go ahead and start doing different forms of it and different, addendums and things like that. So be a great way to facilitate this into a much bigger and much more widespread awareness, because that's what, you know, and that's what I love about you, my friend, is you're doing this for people, for their empowerment and for their own benefit. And I just think that's amazing, because it is the truth and it is personally empowering. And, you know, that makes you a dangerous guy. So, you know, that's you're really putting it out there for people, and they should appreciate it as I do. And I know they do too.
Oh, thank you. I hope they do.
Oh, yeah. Let's take another call here. We have Butch in Missouri. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yes. Hello, Frank and Grant.
Hello.
The longer I listen to Grant, the more I fade into the background.
Sounds good. That's the point, I guess.
right. Yeah, this is very interesting. And I have a couple of comments or earlier you were talking about this domestic passport thing that has now been imposed.
Yes.
And you gave an excellent list of the multiple things that they can accomplish with this one stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to add one more item to that.
Please.
If you've been thinking that you'll paddle your canoe across one of the Great Lakes to get out of the country, forget it.
Yes.
They have 136 Coast Guard boats now equipped with heavy machine guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not something to screw around with, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. And Grant, before we ask Butch to continue, would you like to comment on that? What we discussed at the beginning in conjunction with a phone call we received was I was talking about the national ID card and certainly how they're going to sort of paint this as a cheaper and more convenient alternative to the passport. And, you know, get people to jump on board with this. And, of course, they can make it optional for the most part. But if 90% of the population, clueless as can be, go ahead and decide that they want this thing, you know, voluntarily, well, then they could just make it mandatory. And obviously only 10% of the population is going to be able to complain.
I know. I resisted doing what I did the last week for the longest time. I hope I'm answering your question or at least addressing some of it. But I went on worldwide radio and said I'm not doing the national ID under any circumstances. And, well, yes, it's all about control, and they're going to supposedly be able to track you. I think we spoke about this once before, and I don't think it's going to work out. I just think it's going to either be delayed past May 2008, or there's going to be certain states that are just not going to do it, and that a lot of people are going to flock there, and I just don't think it's going to work out. This big of an issue generally do not work out as planned. When you've got as many people that are dead set against this as we have, and people that listen to stations like the network that we're on, I mean, they just really, really feel strongly, for the most part, against this. So with that in mind, I don't think it's going to work out. So did I get off track here?
There
used to be so much more opportunity to just basically have your privacy. But we always develop resources, and we always have ways around these things. And that's the beauty of the American people, is they have such an innovative spirit, and they're such good entrepreneurs. They develop software, they write books, they develop vaults that require no identification, like the 24/7 private vaults out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And there's just a number of multitude of things that can be done to thwart the efforts of the people that have no business whatsoever knowing your personal business and your business.
Amen.
Business. So that's just my feeling on it. I really didn't want to come across so strong on this, but I was faced with a situation and I had to make the decision. And I have just come out and said, no, Grant Hall is not going to carry a national ID card, and he's going to make his way through this world just fine without it. Thank you.
Well said. Well said. Butch, go ahead, sir.
Okay, the other one is right down Grant's line here, and looking locally here, the two biggest ID thieves in the business are telephone companies and cable companies. I was repeatedly refused telephone service because I wouldn't give them my Social Security number. And the same thing with various internet service providers. Now, this thing, those are really big guys, but there are lots of little weasels out there. The pizza delivery guy is now a spy. Mm-hmm. If he delivers a pizza to your house, he demands a Social Security number.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And it's a real neat little thing there. Doesn't have anything to do with your check or how you pay or anything like that. He wants to know who opens the door and takes the pizza.
Wow.
Because he takes that information and then he goes back to the shop with it. And they sell it to the state. And, you know, if you got any old parking tickets or anything that can drum up, why, they know where to come get you.
Now I see why, yeah. But the examples you gave, the telephone, the internet, and the cable companies, it doesn't surprise me, but in the book, I clearly talk about that, and those guys don't need your real name.
Well, that's right. And they don't need my Social Security.
Well, they certainly don't need that. It's pretty easily solved.
I can tell you, there are different ways to do this, and I'm really picking up on your methods of handling it because I did it a bit roughly, I guess. The cable salesman guy came to the house and hammered on the door. A friend of mine was here, and she was about to leave. And he had this really hot deal for cable. And I'll take that. And I wrote him a check, and I handed it to him. He said, oh, just one more thing. I need your Social Security number. And I said, well, you're not going to get it. And I beat him around the head and shoulders briskly, you know. And when I got tired, my friend who was following all that, she jumped on him. Well, he was really a decent sort of a guy, and I don't think he fully understood our objections, and he left. And my friend left a little few minutes later, and she saw him down the street getting ready to harvest some more Social Security numbers.
Wow.
So she pulled in behind him. And she got out her little pad and she put it up on the dash where he could see it. And then she got out her little pen and she jotted down his license number, license plate number. And then she smiled and waved as she pulled out while he was frantically pushing buttons on his cell phone.
Wow.
A couple of minutes later, he was back at my house. Saying, you know, I just called my boss, and he says we don't need that old Social Security number.
That's great. Wow.
You still want this service? Yeah, I'll take your service.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there are ways and ways, and I don't know if you want to suggest that in your books that you might write, but it did work that one time.
Well, yeah, I think that's fine, and I'm glad that it worked out for you.
Well, I really appreciate all you guys are doing to bring the word out on this stuff.
Well, thank you for being a part of the show, my friend. Thanks for the great information, because I think it's those kinds of stories, you know, those personal accounts of people encountering these things and how they respond to it. It indicates, you know, exactly the sort of programming and the sort of mentality that's going on in America, where even the pizza delivery guy could say, well, I need your thumbprint here in order for you to get this pizza.
Most people would go
along with that, Butch.
Yeah, drop your pants and show me the color of your shorts.
Thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate it. We're up to another break, my friends. We'll be right back to wrap up with our good friend and our sponsor, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Check it out for yourself online, privacycrisis.com.
Hey,
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Thrilled to have you with us. Thrilled to have our guest still with us, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Welcome back, sir.
Hi, there's so much that we could cover, and I just get wound up and I just want to talk.
but
this is my, most favorite thing I can possibly do is work related, so it's just a joy to do this, and I know that there's just many, many questions that come up, and we don't always have the time to answer everything, but I'm always here, hopefully, for every week from now on, so people can take their questions and hit me with them whenever they get a chance to.
Wonderful. Wonderful stuff. Well, I want to give out all the information on the book as well, but let's squeeze in another call here. Ray in Arkansas, welcome to the show.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Frank. How
Wonderful.
You doing tonight?
Good. Very good.
I was listening to you briefly. I occasionally get to squeeze in a few minutes here and there.
Good.
And I was listening to Mr. Grant Hall. And I really like the information I'm hearing from him. I would just like to throw out to everyone that's listening that under the banking rules, which is 31 CFR, if you want to go look that up, a judge, a county clerk, but most importantly, for those that are listening, a notary public, these people are not required to give Social Security numbers or tax identification numbers under the banking rules.
Wow.
So I just thought I'd let you know that. I think your people would find that to be very interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I don't think I knew that. And I'm glad that you came on and told me that. I'm really impressed with your knowledge.
Well, I would like to talk to you sometime, but yes, I have accounts with no Social Security number. There's several ways of doing it, and I've been doing it and helping people do it for years, and you know, all over the United States. Although I don't do that as a business, I do it to help people out. You know, there's several ways to get that done, and what you've been saying is some excellent information. There's a few other ways, but you know, that's for another time. But the Notary Public route is definitely doable for many people.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's so cool that you called. Send me an email, Ray.
I'm not online.
You're not?
I prefer to be anonymous, so.
Okay.
I used to be many years ago, but with the passing of the Patriot Act and so forth, I decided that I would start backstepping a little bit, and so I haven't been online since then. And I had a person try to search for me a while back, and they couldn't find me. And I said, "Excellent."
You're going to have to help me with my next chapter.
Yeah,
I would be glad to do that.
Well, call in again.
Yes.
Okay. You guys have a wonderful night.
You too,
right,
Ray.
You too.
Thank you very much. See, that's fantastic, Grant. Because you know what you've got here is a fairly good size, at least of this listenership, who's plugged into this. The rest of the world, probably not so much. But, you know, the people who are out there who are doing this, you know, they're excited by what you're doing, and they're excited to hear about you because they know some of these things, and they're just, I think they're thrilled that there are other people out there who are not just doing this, but making it available to people in the form of this book, a great how-to manual, how to implement all these different things. And I wanted to go through some of this. Here are the sections in the book, folks. This should give you some perspective what you got in store for you. Identity theft, identification, home, travel, communication, finances, business, and overall behavior. So what you've got is 400 action-packed pages that detail how to do everything. And Grant, you told me this, that you wrote the book for this purpose, so that way people could just read the book, and if the information is not contained here, you provide information on how they can find it, which I think is great.
Yes, that's true. There are a lot of sites and so forth that are referenced, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And again, folks, Grant Hall, we certainly appreciate him here tonight. His website is privacycrisis.com. You can pick it up in ebook form, or you can pick it up in hardcover. You can also check for a used copy on Amazon.com. They go very, very quickly, so you know, be aware of that. That you might even be able to find it on eBay, honestly, as well. But certainly fantastic opportunities to pick this up. You can also order it over the phone by calling Borders Bookstore. Here is that number, 702-433-6222. And if you missed that, I've been accused of reading, you know, numbers too fast and giving out information too fast. You can always call Ken there in the studio, and I can pass this information to him, and he can pass it along to you. So it's very, very easy and accessible. Grant, parting thoughts for us tonight?
Oh, no, I don't. I think we've covered about everything as best we could. I just am so glad that I have this opportunity to be on your show. We've done it for a month now, and I'm very, very pleased with what we've accomplished. And I just really like this audience. They just are so loyal to you, and I'm glad that that you're the person that is interviewing me. It's such a pleasure to have you be so in tune with what we're talking about and be a privacy advocate, and such a pleasure to speak to on the air and cover this topic.
Well, you're not allowed to make the host blush. That's rule number one, my friend. But hey, the feeling of respect that I have for you is just immeasurable, and I'll never be able to put it into words. But I appreciate you so much, and I look forward to the next time we get to chat, which I assume will be next Monday. So
yeah, that's probably going to happen. Yeah.
All right, I look forward to that. Grant Hall, ladies and gentlemen, author of the book Privacy Crisis, website privacycrisis.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I am thrilled that you're with us. Beware of our phone number, 800-313-9443. You can use it at any point. And I've got plenty of news here, which I'm happy to delve into. Also happy to take your calls as well. But, you know, interesting, I had a great discussion with Grant earlier today, our guest, of course, who was just with us. And we talked about a great many things, and what we predominantly discussed was the national ID card. He had said that, you know, he's just outright refused in public to say, or in public, he has outright refused to acquiesce to this national ID card. And I applaud him for that. And I share his convictions as well. It's certainly not something that you're going to find me getting in line for. I mean, you know, and I've said it before, it's just like anything else. I think we roll with the opportunities that are presented to us. if somebody's got a gun to your head and they say, go take the national ID card, I'll probably do it. They'll say, okay, that's fine and dandy. I don't mind that. There are ways to disable microchips. There are ways to do all sorts of things. I don't worry about that sort of thing. But given the option, I'm certainly not going to take it. That goes without saying. But I'm not going to get shot over it either. Now, if they said, we're going to implant this microchip under your skin, that to me resonates a little bit more deeply than simply carrying a card that has biometric information. As I said, I already have a driver's license. That driver's license already has my fingerprints on it. And even if I didn't, they're still on the computer. So you got to decide for yourself what's worth fighting for and how far you're willing to go with it. So for me, what I plan on doing, I think in where I've been as of late, is implementing all of these things that Grant Hall writes about and that other people I know have talked about and shared with you on the air. Implementing all of that stuff so that way there is no need for a national ID card. It's immaterial. It's null and void. It's not applicable to me. And I think that these things are fairly easily achieved, and these are things that I'm striving for. But I digress here. What I'm getting at, for the most part, is that you got to pick and choose your battles. And like I said, if somebody says, "Hey, we've got this health situation, and we have to give mandatory vaccines, and if you don't do it, we're going to arrest you and confiscate your property and throw you and your whole family in jail," I'll say, "Give me the vaccine," and then I'll be mixing up some carrot juice and chugging it down. So, it's just you have to decide what battle is worth fighting. And I think that there will be a huge backlash against the national ID. And so Grant had said that to me. He said, I don't think they're going to be able to pull this off. And I said, I don't think they will either. Not now. Now, what you've got here is the Real ID Act supposed to be implemented by 2008. Well, 2008 is awful, awful close to a presidential election. I really doubt that these candidates who are vying for the highest office in the land are going to be advocating this. Now, we already know that various governors are against it because they're also up for re-election or election at the same time. And to make this a campaign issue would be foolish. If anybody said, look, I'm all for this sort of thing, they won't get a lot of votes, I can promise you that. In fact, that might be sort of the way that the insiders tank their own election. And you know what I'm referring to is, of course, things like the 2004 presidential election, where you have John Kerry basically tank his own campaign. And he did so in a number of different ways, which are easily identifiable. But what I'm getting at here is that I don't think they'll be able to do it in 2008. And they could find a variety of different reasons to do so, but they won't be able to pull it off. I really don't think that the public will embrace this kind of concept unless we have a terrorist attack or something along those lines, a health situation. And these things are all integrated very, very easily. I'll give you an example. The Real ID Act talks about any and all laws being nullified at the discretion of the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security at checkpoints. Now, most people would assume that's border checkpoints, and they assume that that means that the Border Patrol or the National Guard or whomever is in the employ of the Department of Homeland Security can simply, say, hey, look, we've got all these illegal immigrants that are overrunning the borders for some reason. They're all, running across the border at the same time. We can't stop them all. We can't detain them all. So we might have to shoot them, or something like that. So most people would look at the Real ID Act and they say, oh, I understand that. Sure. I mean, we could have some huge immigration issue. Something huge could pop up. However, when you look at a situation like the CDC's SARS preparedness plan, which I would urge all of you to read if you have not yet read it, it is on the CDC's website, which is cdc.gov. And it's very lengthy, and there's a lot of course, big, big, big unnecessary terms, just like any sort of, it's not necessarily a law, but it's like a law. It's written in such a fashion because they may need to implement these things. Now, the SARS scare back in 2003 was certainly hyped up to a great proportion, much like the bird flu is nowadays, and certainly last year exponentially so, as far as the awareness and the fear-mongering, or flu-mongering, as I like to call it. What I'm getting at is the CDC's SARS preparedness plan talks about checkpoints, interstate and intrastate checkpoints, which means in between states and inside states. So that implies cities, various you know, checkpoints along the way, and certainly all along the state borders. Now, who knows who they'll have doing that? Probably the National Guard or some other sort of incarnation. But that would be in the event of a SARS outbreak or SARS-like. That's also an important point. They say those exact words. So SARS, you know, severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS-like, meaning respiratory in nature, which is what? Everything, right? I mean, that's the flu, that's bird flu, that's a cold, that's sinus infection, you know, whatever. That's almost everything. So they have different ways of doing this. Now, we all know that they've implemented, you know, sort of temperature screening scans at airports and whatnot. You know, people are flying internationally. They say, oh, you know, you've got a temperature of 102, sir. I'm going to need to pull you out of line. Do you have you been checked for bird flu or SARS? And he'll say, see, or no, or whatever. Yes, it could be anything. So they have ways of doing this. Now, if for some reason they had, let's say, again, SARS outbreak or SARS-like, which means bird flu, anything like that, whether it's quote-unquote naturally occurring or quote-unquote terrorist attack, then all of a sudden it's a public health crisis. Now, if you look at the bird flu legislation that the president authorized, that talks about a great many things, including being able to shoot you in the interest of protecting federal supplies or federal property, which could be anything, really. Like a military base or, various things like that. Even if they just say, hey, look, we've got this warehouse or we're, you know, the federal government's going to confiscate Walmart because we need the supplies. And you try to run up on Walmart and steal something, even a pack of gum. Now, why you'd need a pack of gum in a sort of life or death scenario is beyond me, but I don't know. Maybe you're a gum addict. So they could shoot you, and that's the end of that. You won't be able to sue. You won't be able to do anything like that. There'll be no legal recourse for you. So these things all kind of work hand in hand. So what I'm getting at here is that absent a terrorist attack, which a lot of people, as we saw in the aftermath of September 11th, polls indicating that somewhere in the upper 70th percentile would forego freedom, civil liberties, and whatnot, they would trade those in for security. Now, security, as we all know, is an illusion. Plain and simple, no matter how secure you think you are, you think everything is, there's always an anomaly. There's always one circumstance, one contingency that maybe you never thought of, maybe you've never planned for. So there's always going to be holes in a security scheme. I choose not to live in a golden cage. Yes, it's gold, it's pretty, and it's nice, but it's still a cage. I'd rather be free and be in jeopardy of having terrorist attacks right and left and still have my freedom. Because, yeah, the world may change, but I don't want our freedoms to change. But a lot of Americans did not see things my way post September 11th, and that was a real tragedy. I think in the aftermath of another terrorist attack, we'd see the same thing. You probably would see politicians clamoring for the national ID card. You probably would see the American public clamoring for a national ID card, especially if it were a terrorist attack by a branch of Al-Qaeda that came in through Mexico or through Canada, in which case we could say, oh, we got to have these things. We got to lock down the border. We got to know who's here and how long they're here and so on and so forth. And it may even be jacked up from a little ID card to a subdermal microchip implant. Who knows? But what I'm saying is absent that, there's always the health side of things. So let's say, you know, you live in, I don't know all the geography of various states and whatnot. But let's say you work in New York City, but you live in New Jersey, for example, right? You have to travel into the city every day to go to work. Well, let's say that they've got the checkpoint set up and they're saying, oh, I'm sorry, we're not letting anybody into the city who doesn't have the bird flu vaccine. And you'll say, okay, well, scan my national ID card and you'll see in my medical files digitized on the RFID chip that I have, in fact, received my vaccine. And they'll say, good job, sir. You're a loyal American. You may proceed to work. So on and so forth. So you see how that is. Let's say that you live and work in New York City, but maybe you want to travel. And you're saying, hey, look, I'm already here. I don't need some vaccine or something, but I want to drive across, you know, the river there and visit some family in New Jersey or something. And they say, nope, sorry, we can't let you over here. Why not? Because you don't have the vaccine. Well, crap. Just goes on and on like that. So, again, they can keep tabs on you from a health situation. They can integrate that into the national ID card. Now, as I've said, imagine this. Anybody who's ever been at a toll booth, okay, and you've all been through a toll booth at some point in your lives. Some are more crowded than others. Anybody that's ever been in a big city during rush hour knows there's quite a bit of congestion. The bigger the city, the longer the wait. And I've been in traffic jams, the likes of which I never want to see again. But what I'm saying is that if they have to screen every single person coming in or going out of a city or a state, well, that's going to make for some very, very long lines. Now, some people who travel toll roads a lot have a thing called a fast pass. A fast pass actually operates by way of an RFID type of technology, whereas you pay for a month of toll service. I'm sure there's like an amount you credit to it. I don't know how it works, but I do know how the technology works. And then you take this little thing and you stick it on your windshield and you just fly right through the automated toll road. So it streamlines the process a lot. So, again, folks, imagine this. A post-terrorist attack or a post-health crisis, and they've got all these checkpoints, and everybody has their little ID card. And it's like, ah, come on. Well, the only way, of course, to do that is for them to take your card and run it through a scanner or get it very close to a scanner. So you can't just drive through a toll booth with your arm sticking out, holding your ID card, and maybe get your arm sliced off. I don't know. So what happens then? Well, then they say, well, we've got these subdermal chips. And we can make them a little bit bigger and a little bit thicker and a little bit more powerful than we can putting them into cards, which have to be thin and compact and so on and so forth. And maybe they're easily damaged. Maybe, you know, like a credit card. Oh, got it near the magnet. Your RFID national ID card doesn't work. You got to go down to the DMV or wherever and get in line and do it all over again. And it's just a huge pain in the booty. So you say, well, I'm going to go ahead and get this thing into, you know, implanted. And then I can just cruise through these hour long waits at these checkpoints and be able to just fly right through to my destination. Take your 3 hour wait and make it 30 minutes. I mean, that is going to be very appealing to a lot of people, especially because in the aftermath of a terrorist attack or a health crisis, what's going to skyrocket in price? Anyone? Gasoline. So when you're in line for 3 hours, well, how much is that going to cost you in gas? An exorbitant amount of money, of course. Everybody knows that. Everybody can see that. So, again, understand that the way they implement these things, the way they get people on board with these things, security, convenience, safety. That's really it. Security, right? You got to be protected. Your safety, you got to be safe. And those can vary a little bit, but they have some common ground. But convenience is the biggest way because we as a people are inherently lazy. We are a fast food, instant gratification culture. We want our food at the grocery store in about 10 minutes. We go to the express line, right? And we pay with a credit card. And we do this and this. And we've all seen the commercial, at least I assume you have, where there's like this busy cafeteria and everybody's paying with a check card and everything's flying through. And then one guy's like, oops, I got to pay in cash. And everybody's like, ah, why you got to go to that antiquated payment system? You idiot, you're slowing up the whole line. You're ruining progress with your need for cash. So they're already sort of integrating these things into our minds, these little brainwashing scenarios. Now, again, the other thing, too, open borders. They might say, hey, look, we'll do an open border thing because we've got these illegal immigrants who want to come over, and they have agreed to get a subdermal chip. This is great. It's better than an ankle bracelet like they give the prisoners right now who are on parole and whatnot, house arrest. It's better than that, and they'll just get them to agree to it. Again, the convenience. For example, let's say at prisons, you got your parole board hearing, Mr. Jones, we're interested in releasing you, but we just wanted to know, and this may or may not have any bearing on whether we decide to release you, but we do have a pilot program, sir, and what we're doing is in lieu of the ankle bracelets, we are offering to let some of the prisoners who are out on parole to get a subdermal chip. And then the prisoner would say, well, why would I want that? And they'll say, well, very easily, because it's not a albatross around your neck. People aren't going to look at your ankle bracelet and say, oh, there goes an ex-con. So you'll still be tagged, you'll still be monitored, and you won't have that that stigma attached to you of being an ex-con. And the prisoner might say, well, I don't know. I'm thinking it's not. You make a good point, but still, I it's against my religion to potentially take the mark of the beast. And then they'll say, well, let's put it to you straight here, prisoner 8493201. You are very much more likely to have your parole approved if you agree to this. And they'll say, okay, go ahead and inject me with a chip. And they do that. So, again, convenience and a little bit of incentive, a little bit of you know, carrot on a stick dangling before somebody's face, saying, hungry, aren't you? Don't you want this chip? Same thing with the illegals. They'll say, hey, look, we got the work program. This is a great opportunity. You can work in Mexico and make 25 cents an hour. You can work here and make $7.50 an hour. But we are going to require you to get your subdermal chip. And most Americans would say, yeah, yeah, good, do it. That's good. That's a good thing. Not realizing, of course, that, again, once you start making it optional and people agree, then if you get a good percent of the population, 90%, say, yeah, yeah, I'll voluntarily take that. Well, then, hey, just for the sake of majority, if a politician says, we're going to make this mandatory, well, guess what? Everybody that already has one says, that's fine with me. I already have one. And everybody that disagrees, only 10%, you're not enough of a voting bloc to make a difference. It's very, very sinister, this process of gradualism, and very, very important that we're aware of it, how it works, why it works, and what they're up to. So I know I've just dropped a whole lot of different speculative scenarios, but they all bear some due attention on your part, because at some point you will be asked to make that decision. Whether it's the decision to do it voluntarily or it's a decision to acquiesce to a compulsory program, it will be asked of you. Stay with us, folks. We have a short break. Back in only three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Well, Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're with us. Tail end of hour number three already. Time certainly moving quickly. So I had to talk about this. This one came out technically yesterday. I would say earlier today, but that's just me. Associated Press. And it's about, of course, today being, meaning today now, the first. May Day is what they call it. May 1st. So here we go. Hispanic and other civil rights groups wrapped up plans for an immigration reform march and rally on Tuesday in dozens of cities, but conceded a replay of last year's huge turnout is unlikely. Still, organizers say the demonstrations reflect a robust movement determined to win a path to citizenship for the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants in this country. Now, some accounts, just as a side note, put that number somewhere around 25 million. According to Eduardo Sotelo, a popular Spanish language disc jockey, quote, just because the 12 million who don't have legal residency don't attend a march doesn't mean they don't want it. I tell my listeners, no matter what they do, just don't stop doing something, end quote. Marches, meetings, and voter registration drives are planned from Oregon to Florida. In Miami, Democratic Party Chair Howard Dean plans to speak to immigrant groups. In D.C., about 400 members of Asian groups from across the country were set to lobby lawmakers. Two large demonstrations are planned in Los Angeles County, home to an estimated 1 million illegal immigrants. Last year's May 1st boycott brought out more than a million protesters across the nation, but later rallies failed to produce large turnouts as legislation stalled in Congress and bipartisan proposals for illegal immigrants to gain citizenship have become more conservative. The developments have disheartened many would-be marchers, but organizers say the frustration with Congress also brought out new supporters. Said Joe Garcia, a Cuban-American who heads the Democratic Party's Miami-Dade County chapter, quote, it used to be that Hispanic immigrants, those who came legally, were more conservative on the issue, but now it's become so wrapped up with the issues of racism and identity, even Puerto Ricans and Cubans care about immigration, end quote. So you can see that, again, as they try to make this racist issue, this a racist issue, which I don't think it should be on either side, that fires more people up, whether it's against or for. So don't play it that way, because I think it would apply even if Canadians were wanting to get into our country. And I think Canadians would feel the same way if Americans were trying to get into theirs illegally. Same thing. It says, yet, stepped-up raids in recent months have left many immigrants afraid to speak out in public, a major change over the rallies last year when some illegal immigrants wore T-shirts saying, quote, I'm illegal, so what, end quote. Said Joshua Hoyt, executive director of the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, quote, the raids are intended to terrorize people and make President Bush look tough, but they are not a solution, end quote. Some L.A. area groups called for an economic boycott and hoped for a repeat of last year when thousands of immigrants and students stayed away from work and school in a sign of solidarity. Others have rejected the boycott, arguing that it puts immigrants' livelihoods at risk and deprives children of valuable classroom time. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Cardinal Roger Mahoney, head of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles, urged students to stay in school. Said Alicio Medina, executive VP of the Services Employee International Union, quote, this is a very decentralized and organic movement, so in all different cities, people will be doing what they feel is important in their area, end quote. Among the events planned in New York, groups are planning an American Family tree rally where immigrants will pin paper leaves on a large painting of a tree to symbolize the separation of families because of strict immigration laws. In Fresno, organizers planned a rally focusing on children whose parents had been deported. The San Joaquin Valley is home to thousands of seasonal workers who cross the Mexican border illegally each year to work in fields and construction industry. Also, there are things going on in Milwaukee, Florida, Los Angeles, and in Florida in particular, Miami, Tampa, Orlando, and West Palm Beach, all having activities later today. So watch for that. We'll see how it goes. Stay with us, folks. Back in about 90 seconds with the fourth and final hour of the program. Stay with us.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.